recording? All right. I love my wife. I just want to say that. She left me a note as a reminder because I had forgotten until I looked up and went, oh, yeah. So, Children's Church, this was the first morning that we are going to do this. And any kids ages 5 to 10 can go with Miss B back there, and she has an awesome lesson for you guys with coloring and all kinds of stuff, right? So who all wants to go? Draw a picture for me. I need one. Huh? Draw a picture of me? Most time when our kids draw a picture of me, the most noticeable part of that is the bald head. I don't... All right. So, man, this has been a good week, a productive week, and all that kind of stuff for me. I hope you guys have been productive also. I want to catch those of you that haven't been here for the year, kind of where we're at really quick, is we decided that 2016 was going to be the year of being more devoted to God and growing closer to Him. And we've done several series leading up to how we can be more devoted to Him. We looked at reading our Bible, prayer. We've looked at how to evangelize. We have looked at the questions that we may get as we're evangelizing, and apologetics series to answer questions and be able to defend our faith. And we've talked about a lot of things, and that leads us up to today, because here in a couple of weeks, do y'all need me to turn down the air conditioner or something? Here in a couple of weeks, we're going to be starting a new series called One Nation Under God. And that is something that a lot of the pastors here in Glen Rose are doing, and it's going to go up to the Sunday before the elections. And it's just about one nation under God, how we can live as foreigners in the United States and how we should live that way. So I'm looking forward to doing this this series with you guys. And then that Sunday, we're going to go to the square here in Glen Rose, and we're going to have a big prayer meeting with a lot of churches. And just pray for our country. Pray that we'd be blessed. Pray that we would turn back to God and all that stuff. And then we're going to have a prayer walk after that and just pray through the neighborhood. So it's going to be very awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually meeting with the Ministerial Alliance again tomorrow night here, so be praying for that. I'm going to get to meet some other pastors' families and things, so I'm really looking forward to being here for that tomorrow night. So that kind of catches up to where we are at, and I want to do this message, and today is kind of a hard message for me because, once again, I'm going to be pointing fingers back at this guy and that sort of thing. So at work, all of the different managers were asked to read this book called Extreme Ownership. It's a leadership book, and most of us have read it. There's still some stragglers that haven't quite gotten through this book. It was written by a couple of Navy SEALs, and it is about their time over in Iraq and the things about leadership that they learned while they were in Iraq. And then they took what they learned over there and they put it into the business world. But it can be applied to all facets of our life, right? Leadership works in all areas of our life, from our home life, our church life, our work life, you know, everything. Leadership goes across the board and how we do that. But the book is really cool, but the thing that I took most from it is being able to own up to our own failures. And I'm not extremely great at that. I like to blame like everything else, as I think that a lot of us probably do. We like to blame other people and other things instead of pointing back at ourselves, but I see a place that that we definitely need to own up to our failures as well. So first, I want to read in God's Word. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 14. It'll be up here on the screens, or you can turn in your Bibles. And this is basically following where Jesus and the disciples met for the Last Supper, the last meal that they had together before Jesus was taken and crucified. So we're going to pick up right at the end of that dinner, and it starts off in verse 26. And when they had sung a hymn, they did this at the upper room, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. but after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, even though they all fall away, I will not. And Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he said emphatically, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said the same. And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. And going a little farther, he fell onto the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. And he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough, and the hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. So, there they are out there in this garden, and Jesus takes three of them with him and says that he wants them to stay there and just pray, and they can't do that for just 1 hour. They were unable to do that. And one of the seminary classes that we took, we went to Glen Lake Camp, and the first night out there, Pastor Joey, he takes us up to that cross that you can see lit up at night. And all of us seminary students are up there around this cross, and we sing some songs, we quote some scripture, and then he says, now I'm going to ask you guys to do something that Jesus asked his disciples to do, and it's going to be difficult. What's that going to be? He wants us to pray for an hour, like find a quiet spot. He'd had us bring a towel up there with us, too, and we thought it was to dry off from going through the river, but we get up there, and we set out our towels, and we're to pray for an hour. He says that you're going to run out of stuff, but as soon as you run out of stuff to pray, then I want you to just listen. Listen to God. Like, pray your heart out there, and then just listen for him to speak to you. But pray for an hour. I'm going to set my watch, and I'll tell you when the hour is up. It hadn't been too long before you start hearing some noises back there and people gathering on the campfire because it was cold. It was really cold out there, but I'm stubborn, so I stayed there for the entire time. And some of my prayer, I admit, was, God, take this cold away from me. I need to be warmed up here, and I'm shaking and shivering. And finally, the time was up, and I got to go get around the fire with everybody else. So I know what that's like. It's difficult to pray for an hour, but it seems like it shouldn't be too much. God gives us 24 hours a day. To pray for 1 hour doesn't seem like it would be much, but it really, really is. So now I want to pick up at verse 66. Verse 66 says, and as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls, this is, they've come in, they've arrested Jesus, they've taken him to the Sanhedrin, the court of the Pharisees, and he's on trial. So, and Peter was below in the courtyard. One of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with the Nazarene Jesus. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you mean. And he went out into the gateway, and a rooster crowed. That's once. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, this man is one of them. But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I did not know this man of whom you speak. And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he broke down and wept. So Peter was a leader. Before becoming a disciple, he had his own fishing boat, right? He was running a crew out fishing on the Sea of Galilee. He had things going on, so he was a leader. And then throughout the ministry with Jesus, he was one of the leaders. Jesus called him a rock. So he was definitely a leader, but he still messed up, right? He still denied Jesus. Even said, "You're going to do this," and he's like, "No, I'm not." And then he still messed up, and he denied Jesus 3 times, even that he knew him. And I think that sometimes we may do that too. We may deny Jesus. I don't know if you guys have ever been in the circumstance where you're at work or maybe out having fun somewhere, playing basketball with people you don't know, and somehow religion comes up, and you know, you may say that you go to church or you're a Christian, and then somebody, you know, barks something back, and you're just like, "Ooh, I don't know how to answer that." So I'm like, "Well, you know, I'm a Christian, but I'm not like religious like those guys, and you know, I don't go to church every Sunday. I missed 2 times last year," and try to like downplay your beliefs, right? I think that we've all been where we don't really want to get into religious talks, especially at work or somewhere, because it can get to be confrontational, and we like to avoid that. So I used to do that a whole lot until I decided that I wanted to be more bold in my faith, and I have a confrontational personality sometimes anyway, and I love to debate things, and I love to be right. So I prayed for boldness, and I prayed for God to help me, and I want to be bold in my faith, but I still fail sometimes. I'm not always faithful and as bold as what I should be. And I think I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. At my office, whenever I had my computer shop in Glen Rose, there was a gentleman that came in, and this guy was apparently as far from God as what he could be. And my general question to people that starts off, you know, just easy in, "Where do you go to church?" This guy's like, "I don't go to church." "All right, well, cool, man. Well, you know, I go to a good one out there called Cornerstone. It was whenever Randy was the pastor." You know, no interest in that. And so I don't say anything else to him, right? I'm in seminary. I'm, you know, trying to be very bold. That guy leaves my office, and I realize I've failed. Like, I didn't minister to that guy at all. And I should have. So that night, I go home and I pray, like, "God, I am so sorry that I failed you there. I will never, ever make that mistake again." Next morning, I wake up, "God, please give me an opportunity to talk to him again. The next time he's in front of me, man, I'm going to be so bold in my faith. Oh, yes. Bring him on anytime." I drive into the office and I pull into the parking lot. I hadn't even opened up my door yet before on my window. I look up, it's him. "I didn't mean this morning. I meant like sometime in the future. I need a chance to get ready, you know." And I failed again. Failed that morning. And I've always thought about that, and I don't want to fail again. I want to be bold in my faith every time and take those opportunities to be able to minister to people. Whenever Peter denied Jesus, I don't think that was his first time to ever experience failure, and I don't think that it was his last. Matter of fact, I know that it wasn't, because Paul had to go to Peter and tell him that he was wrong in some areas, and Peter had to repent in that. That was that the gospel was for the Gentiles as well. So I know that that wasn't his last mistake. He made mistakes. So it's like how we... whenever we do something like that, it's hard to admit that we were wrong, especially for me. It's hard to admit a lot of times where I do that up here, because I want you guys to know that, man, we are all fallible human beings, and we messed up. So here's my question to you guys that have been members here at Cornerstone for a long time, have been attending here for a long time, is this right here. Do you feel like in 2016, in this year, that we've been working towards being more devoted to God, and you don't have to like put up your hands, or you don't have to say anything out loud or anything like that. You can keep quiet and think to yourselves. Do you feel like you've grown in your faith this year? Like, has God moved in your life in a very visible way to not just yourself, but to the people around you? Can can it be seen how much you are being devoted to God in your life? Like, how is your prayer time? Is it where you think that it should be from what we've been reading in the Bible together over this year? How is your reading the Bible? Is it a daily thing, or is it very sparse, or is it on Sundays? Like, how is your serving other people? How is your repentance for your sins? Whenever you realize that you've messed up, is it one of those things like, I'm thankful for grace and that's all that there is? Or do we really recognize whenever we've messed up? Because I've been doing some recognizing here lately of some places that I've really been failing in and where it's at. So I wonder how passionately all of us are following Jesus as ambassadors for his kingdom, where people see Jesus through us in all facets of our life, in school, in work, at home, in every area of our life. Are people seeing how devoted we are to Jesus? Because, man, he was so devoted to us. And I want to have that level of devotion to God in my life. Are you putting him first? Are you putting other people before yourselves and serving people? Do you put other people's needs before your own? Sometimes I overdo that, as Amber would tell you, because I want so badly to serve that I neglect some other things that I probably should be doing. That I should be doing. So if you are not where you need to be, if you are not as spiritually mature as what you should be, whose fault is that? Is it God's fault that we're not where we're supposed to be in him? I don't want to blame God for anything, because he's holy, perfect, righteous, and he doesn't make any kind of mistakes. But I know that we do make mistakes. So whose fault is it if we're not where we should be following Jesus and living that best life that God promises, that if we follow him, then we're going to be a blessing to all those around us? Is it your fault? I don't think so. And the reason I don't think so is because after reading that book and seeing how these guys owned up to their own failures, I think that I am at fault. And that's a hard thing for me to accept and want to do, because I like to blame shift a lot. But I need to accept that God is the one who placed me as the shepherd of the flock here at Cornerstone. Like, you guys voted me in, but God lined up these steps so perfectly that it landed me to here in this spot where I was even considered for being the pastor. So I feel like I have failed anyone that is not where they need to be with God. And I want to take responsibility for doing that. I want to admit that I didn't really recognize that I was supposed to be in that position, and so I feel like I have failed a lot of people. And more importantly than that, I really feel like I failed God in the responsibility that he's given me, because he's given me a role here that, while I believed I was taking it serious, I don't think that I communicated how serious I am in the role that I have at Cornerstone. And I could point to all kinds of different points of failure throughout the last 2 years that I've been the pastor, but I don't want to do that. Instead, I want to focus on going forward in the ministry here and trying to learn from all those different mistakes that I've made to become a better pastor and a better shepherd of Christ's sheep here at Cornerstone. I'm going to try to not let my ego get in the way and my pride, because I have some issues in those areas, but I do want to admit that I believe that I need to be a better communicator in order to effectively lead God's flock here at Cornerstone, and so that we can push forward with our church's mission. Do you guys know what our church's mission is? If you don't, then that is a sign that I have not communicated effectively. Anybody? Huh? And be conformed in his image. I don't have to have it written down on here. I can write that from memory. So the mission of this church always is to lead people to Christ and be conformed into His image. And that's something that is more difficult to do inside the walls here. It's something that is outside of this church for us to go out and be leading people to Christ. In the last verse that we read there in verse 72, I think, 72, the very end, the last thing that he says is he broke down and wept. That was repentance. That's the same thing that King David did whenever he messed up. He would break down and weep. It's the same thing that Peter did. He recognized that he had sinned against God and he wanted to repent from that. And so he broke down. He took it serious where he was at. And I have done a lot of breaking down lately and crying, even though that's difficult again to admit. I've done it a few times. Sometimes uncontrollably, I sat here in a chair not too long ago. I couldn't stop crying because I was just thinking about so much and so many places that I've messed up, and I want to make those things better. So I take responsibility, and I want to say to those of you here that don't feel like you are at where you need to be with God that I am sorry, and I want your forgiveness. And I want to move forward with just passion for God. I am so passionate to share Jesus with people. I'm passionate about God. I'm passionate about His Word. I love this. I love teaching. I love being a pastor. I love serving. And sometimes I don't communicate that as well as what I should, so that that can go into other people that God wants us to serve and be like that. If we move forward with passion for God, He promises that like everything else will fall into place. So if we're putting God first and we're loving Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, our mind and strength, we love Him that way, like everything else is going to fall into place in our lives. Because if we're following Him and being obedient to Him, then we will love our wives unconditionally. Wives will love their husbands unconditionally. We will want to serve other people the way that we should. We will love people unconditionally. This morning's lesson in Sunday school was talking, it was in James chapter 2, the very beginning. It's talking about how sometimes people play favoritism in the church. Like we see someone come in and, you know, maybe look out the window. We see them pulling up in a BMW, maybe a motorcycle. No, I'm kidding. So they pull up in a BMW and they come in, they're wearing a nice suit, and like the church leaders want to flock to that person. Like, oh, there's somebody, they've got money, and we need that. They're going to be the cool people that we want to be around. But you see somebody come in off the street, and there's lots of examples of that you can find online of people that come in. They look like a bum, and everybody's like, oh, I don't want to be anything around them. Are they going to come back? And we maybe ignore them, and they won't want to come back, and those kind of things. So if we're passionately loving Jesus, then we will love the poor person and the rich person. We will love everyone equally and unconditionally the way that Christ calls us to. That's what I want to be. I want to be able to instill that love for you guys. And that comes from the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come from me, but it's my role to try to point you in that direction and always keep you focused on Jesus and how you should be following Him. So work can fall into place if you're loving people, if you're prioritizing the managers the way that you should be, if we're not gossiping, if we're not speaking negatively over our managers, if we're not doing all these different things or people under us, if we're constantly focused on Him and loving people, it will change the way that we do things, change the way that we live. Do you believe that? So as a responsible leader that wants to be part of you guys' life, I can't do everything for you. And that's one of the things the book talks about, is you can't micromanage every little facet of everything. I certainly can't do that to people's lives. So I can't read your Bible for you on a daily basis or weekly. I can't do that. But what I can do is, like I did last week, try to show you my passion, my love for this book and every word of it, and learning as much as I possibly can about this to defend why I have this faith in Jesus Christ. I can do that from up here in the pulpit. I can do that whenever I'm around you in every area of our lives, but I can't make anyone do that. I can remind you that this is one of the ways that God speaks to us. Like, we may have some issues like I've had going lately, and I'm reading going, oh man, again. It reminds me, I think I was watching this maybe at work. Was it with you, the chisel? the chisel. Skit guys do a skit where God's taking a chisel to their life and these things that they need to be rid of, and he's jolting, oh, no, do you have to get rid of that? That's what's kind of happening, because I want that. I want God to mold me to be the man that he wants me to be the pastor that he wants me to be. So I can do that. I can remind you of my passion for the Bible, and I can remind you of the messages that are in there are life-changing. God changes lives through this book. Story after story can be told about people that find a copy of the Bible at just the right time in their life, that it changes the entire dynamics of their entire life. As a responsible leader, I can't come to everybody's home every single day and pray with you and pray with your family. I'm already whining about not having enough spare time, but can you imagine if I decided, hey, that's like the next step as the pastor, is like everybody in the church, I'm going to start going over to their house, I'm going to pray with them every night to be sure that they're praying and communicating with God. I would really be whining them about being tired all the time. This morning, I think I got about 5.5 hours of sleep before coming up here. So if I had finished up the promise at 11:30 last night, and then I had to go to Cheeto's house and pray with him and Lauren, and then over to the Rosenbaum, just around, you know, I'd get home about 4 o'clock in the morning, and then I'd really be tired. So I can't do that every day. But what I can do is I can tell you guys from up here prayers that I see answered, that God, I pray for something and God answers that prayer, and how I know people that they're praying for something and God answers that prayer. Sometimes God answers yes, sometimes he answers no, and sometimes he answers not now. But that time that I had up there at the cross, when I sat there and I listened, I gave God everything that I could, and then I listened and I felt like he spoke to me. God gives us an answer to the things that we're praying for. So I can talk about that. I can help you in that way. But I can't go to everybody's house and say their nighttime prayers with them and help them in communicating with God. As a responsible leader, I can't do a whole lot of things. Like I can't love everyone's wife unconditionally the way that a husband should. I can't love husbands the way that wives should. There's a lot of different things that I can't do. But what I can do is I can try to model it the best that I can. I can try to be a good husband for Amber. And I like to think, and I know she'll tell everybody that there is no better husband than me. So, no, I'm kidding. So, I try so hard to be a good husband, and I fail in that area a lot. I really, really, really do, and I'm thankful for guys that do model that better than I do, but I definitely need to be a better model. I can model parenting. I can model how to love children in a godly way. I can do that, but I can't do that for anyone. That's the part where I need to communicate through my actions, through my words, through everything to you guys to help you follow God's word better and be drawn more to him, to be devoted to him. So I know that I need to learn to communicate better. And the first thing that I want to communicate to everyone is God loves you. He loves you all so much, so much. And I believe that one way that he's loving you guys today is by convicting me in this way, to really realize that I've failed in some areas and that I want to repent, and I have repented from some of that, and I want to turn an about face, and I want to go a different direction. I want that so bad. But his love goes far beyond anything with me. He sent his son to die as a sacrificial lamb on the cross for all of us that have trusted him. He did that because of his love. I don't know about the dads in the room that have sons here, but I don't know how many of you could actually sacrifice your son for other people. Is there anybody that can actually say they would do that besides, I mean, Patrick would. But so no, none of us, man. We love our sons, but God did that for us so that we could be saved, so we could spend eternity with him. God loved us that much. And the next thing that I want to communicate and try to be as clear as possible and be truthful is that I am a busy person. I seem to have things that are every single day, every single evening, all the time. I have to carve out time for things that I need to be able to do. But I want you guys to know that every one of you are a priority in my life because God placed me here responsible for this church. I want to serve everybody here at this church in any way that I possibly can. So if you need me to come to your house and read the Bible with you and do a Bible study at your home because that would help you as a family unit, I will go there and do that for you. If you guys need me to come to your house and pray with you for whatever reason, whatever struggle is going on in your life, whatever is happening, I will do that for you. I know there's people in this church that will tell you, if you call me, I will go and I will be there every single time because I want to serve you guys to the best of my ability. That's my goal, is to do that. Because I'm never, ever, ever too busy for anybody at this church or even outside of this church. Yesterday morning, I was in the middle of things and I got a text message from someone that said, "Hey, I'm broke down at Glenrose Discount Drug. Can you come help me?" I don't know anything about helping. And he's like, "Just bring a hammer." Oh, I can do that. I can use a hammer on a car. So I show up with my hammer in hand, and I mean, as soon as I start beating the back of his truck, he's like, no, I'm kidding, I didn't do that. He needed me to bang on his starter, so I did that, turn it over, nothing. And so he says, "Just touch the positive and negative wires." Okay. So I grab a hold of the rubber part of the hammer and touch it up against there, and it makes some kind of sound. I'm like, that was kind of weird. And then I do that again. He's like, "It's not working." Jam it up against there, and then his truck started up, and I don't want to do that again. So laying underneath of a truck with it starting up and then running and, you know, thinking that he could run over me. So anyway, I don't want to do that. But I left the stuff that I was working on to go and help him, and then my day just started and got busy once again. So if you guys need me in any way, I want to come and help you. Don't ever think that I'm too busy for someone in this church. I will make it happen somehow, and there is no payment necessary for that service. You can make me a hamburger. I do enjoy those, but no payments necessary. But seriously, like, if you guys know my heart, it really is to see everybody here grow in the Lord every single day and to be more and more the way that Jesus wants us to be. Like, that is my passion. I want to love you guys because I do love you guys. I want to see you guys love each other and love people outside of this church so much that they're like, "Man, there is no other way that person could be that way except for having the love of Christ in them." Because we are a church family, so I want to be there for you guys. Families have the good times, they have bad times, they get through things together, and they're always close. Sometimes there are some problems that we have. We may even get aggravated with someone, which we can do that. I can get mad at Amber like that. All she's got to do is say, "Are you ever going to mow the lawn?" And that will set me off. So, and then Cheeto comes and rescues me from that and mows my lawn while I'm trying to take a nap. So, but anyway, so I want you guys to know that, like, I want to be a church family, people that love each other so much that we're always there for each other and that we're there for other people, because that's just overflowing with the love that God gives to us through His Son. Like in Acts, when we read the first part of Acts, the believers, they gather together every day and they're breaking bread and they're encouraging each other in Christ. We gather together every Sunday and we sometimes break bread with a hamburger patty in between the two slices. We do that, but not as often as what some of us would like that love hamburgers. So I want to close out this morning before we go out there and fellowship together and break some of that bread by saying, man, I believe the best is yet to come for Cornerstone. I really believe that. We are just getting started, and I'm excited about whatever the future has for Cornerstone. So does that sound good to you guys to grow as a church family? Good. One of the things that we knew needed to happen, this was placed on my heart some time ago, and then it was really pressed onto my heart by Amber, that we needed to start pouring into children more here at Cornerstone. We have these little ones ranging from, you know, 5 to 9 that they're coming in here to the service, but they have a hard time listening to me and my monotone voice and my terrible jokes for children and all those kind of things. And we want to pour into kids. Earlier this year, we started off with the carnival. That was a great time. We do things, but we wanted to do something that we could really pour into them more. And that's why this morning we have the very first children's church. We did this years ago, and we're trying to implement that again so that kids can actually get built up also, like I hope to be doing in here with all of the adults and the youth. So we have the children's church in there now. To kind of tell you a little bit about that, the way that it works, and we have several people have stepped up and said they would love to help with that. Miss Karen is a teacher at Morgan, and so she has developed a kind of like a curriculum thing for children's church here for us. So all that a volunteer has to do is go in, pull out the next lesson. It's got the lesson in there for the teacher. It has coloring projects, and one of the things that she had was a gallon jug that was cut out and had a tail in the end. It was supposed to be a whale, and it had a little Jonah that she drew, and they can throw that over there when they get to Jonah and the whale. So there's games. It's going to be fun for the kids in children's church. But don't let the children's church be the end of what they learn, because they're going to have a worksheet thing that has some scripture on it that they're going to bring home, and then you guys as parents can have some of the scripture that you can instill in them, that you can read with them and talk about what they learned in Sunday school. Be proactive in their growing and learning more about Jesus and be able to answer their questions. If you don't have the answer to the question, I'm glad to have you call me, text me, email me. I will help however I possibly can. So do that. I'm wanting to get to a place. One of the guys at work says that at his church in Burleson, they send home a scripture a day, and that helps parents to have something that they can read to their children each night, and then they can pray with them about that. Give them a little mini lesson and pray with them every night, and it helps parents to be at that level of involved in their children's lives. All my kids, if I try to read them a bedtime story, it's just going to be awkward for everybody, so I can't do that anymore. But some of you have young kids that you can do that with. If I read, Bud, I have to read a dinosaur story or something. So anyway, I wanted you guys to know that. That's what they're doing, and they're learning about the creation of the world this morning and working on that. So I'm sure Miss B is doing a great job. I got to see the lesson that Karen brought, and she's going to do 52 of those for every single week of the year, and it's going to be a good time. So I think that's enough talking from me, because I can hear my stomach saying that it's time to go eat. I love you guys. I really do, and I want to be involved in your lives in any way that I possibly can. I'm really there. No matter how busy I am, I will make time for you guys as well as for my own family. I want to start doing that more going forward. So know that. Know my heart in that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you humbly, thanking you for the Holy Spirit and the conviction that you give us through the Holy Spirit. God, we all fail you, and we don't want to. And we know that you give us grace, you give us mercy, you have forgiven us through your Son's blood. God, we want to be better imitators of you. We want to be better leaders at the church, at home, at work, in every area of our life. But we need your help. As always, we can't do it ourselves. We don't have the strength, but you do. All things are possible with you, God. God, help us to pour more into our families, more into our community. Help us to give everything that we have to you and recognize that it's not about us, that it is about you. This entire story that is taking place from the beginning of time to the end of time is all about you. And that we're just going to be a character in your story. And we know that you love every one of those characters so much. We thank you for that. God, we just ask that you would convict us where we fail you, and that we would learn repentance the way that you would have us do that. We ask for you to just give us comfort, give us peace, give us boldness, give us courage, give us everything that we need to be able to share our faith with those around us. God, we want to honor you with everything that we've got. Help us to love you the way that you want to be loved. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for his ministry here. More than anything, God, we thank you that he went to the cross for his love for us, that unconditional love that we try to learn every day. We thank you for that. We thank you that he followed your will and that he got onto that cross and that he died so that we could be saved. God, we're also thankful that that wasn't the end, that he rose again 3 days later. That he overcame death because that was your plan to save us. We thank you for your word, for all the people, the witnesses of Jesus Christ's life that were willing to share their story. God, for the men that you inspired to write your word. Help us to be more like you. Help us to always put Christ first above everything. Help us to learn the things that you commanded us to obey. God, make us passionate people for you. That's my prayer today, is make us passionate people for you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.